Yeah, baby.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
The Killer Bees are counting down to Texans training camp.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
With a top 10 storylines of the Houston Texans season.
Look around. Let's go.
Texans training camp opens July 29th. Of course, veterans and rookies will report ahead of that training camp opening. But July 29th, so we're counting down our top 10 storylines ahead of the Houston Texans 2022 season. We began our top 10 countdown with number 10, who is the lead back. The ninth most interesting storyline was, is Laremy Tunsil invested? Who knows? Does John Grenard take the next step? Was the one yesterday. And today, number 7, 2022 Houston Texans storylines. What is Tytus Howard when you let him anchor one position? Because according to everybody, Tytus Howard is going to be the right tackle. He's not going to play guard. He's not going to move over to the blind side. Tytus Howard is going to be the right tackle for the Houston Texans. What is he now when you let him anchor that one position?
He's a good right tackle. I think he's a good right tackle as long as they stay true to their word. As long as they don't get cute when they have an injury or two, which undoubtedly is going to pop up again. But as long as you don't have an inkling to do what you've done in the past and you leave him do what he's supposed to do in a position that he can get comfortable with at right tackle, he could be your left tackle of the future, and that's something to address in future years. But as long as Laremy Tunsil's on this roster and he's healthy, and even when he's not healthy, then he's at right tackle and he stays there. And I think that based on what he's shown, even in the short time that he played left tackle, but I believe that he is a capable, better than serviceable offensive lineman in this league. You're paying him, you committed to pay him a good chunk of money. And I think that that is exactly just another reason why, if you want to maximize him and also see what he's worth going forward, you put him there, you leave him there, and you feel good about him being there.
The only way that I would move Tytus Howard from right tackle this year is if Laremy Tunsil sustains a season-ending injury, and then it's okay, Tytus Howard, you're our left tackle for the rest of the time that you're with the Houston Texans, and this is your position, Laremy Tunsil's gone. But as, like, anchoring that one spot, anchoring right tackle, to me there's unknown there. And I like that the Texans took the gamble of picking up the fifth-year option on Tytus Howard already. He's going to play the fourth year. They've already picked up the option for the year following that. And look, it is a substantial amount of money. I don't think Tytus Howard has played his capability and what he has shown you to this point does not match the dollar price associated to his name next season, whenever that fifth-year option comes in. Now, I think that he can play above that dollar figure this year. So, right now, he's been a slight disappointment for the Houston Texans. But I would say that it's not really his fault.
Yeah.
Self-inflicted
from
the
organization,
yes. Completely agree. Like, the reason that Tytus Howard, in my opinion, has not satisfied his potential or played up to his potential and has kind of looked a little bit like a disappointment is because the Texans have been moving him around. Christian Javier in the starting rotation, back into the bullpen. Like, give him one spot, let the guy go to work, and let the guy play. Because I still believe he has first-round potential. I still believe he can play to the value of the dollar figure associated to his name, even with that fifth-year option. So I believe he's going to be a good player, but it's not set in stone yet. Like, there's still some uncertainty. I can't remember who you put the incomplete grade on the other day. It might have been James Click. I feel like Tytus Howard is incomplete next to his name because we haven't been able to grade him at one singular spot for a long period of time.
On a lesser scale, this is when we talk about the Sam Darnolds of the world or the quarterbacks of the world that have seen multiple head coaches and multiple coordinators through the first several years of their career. How can you give an honest judgment of a guy if every time he turns around, he's got a new offensive coordinator, a new playbook to learn, a new head coach with different kinds of rules and command, and demands for his offense, and then you expect him. So on a lesser
and
scale,
other positions.
Yeah. So you do what you've done to Tytus Howard and say, not only could you be having multiple offensive line coaches, but on top of that, we could ask you to play multiple positions and not just one other one, but two separate other positions. And we can move you around wherever and whenever we feel like it, like musical chairs. It's not fair to him. It's not a fair evaluation because you can never see what he could really do and where he could do it best. So this is the year for that. The same way you're doing that with Davis Mills, you're going to do that with Tytus Howard, and you hope to learn a whole hell of a lot about both guys in terms of how they fit and where they fit in the case of Howard in the offensive line.
And Nick Caserio's rolling the dice on Howard. I mean, that cap number going into the 2023 is significant for Tytus Howard because, like we mentioned, he has yet to play up to the value of a first-round draft pick. He is yet to play up to what the price tag is for that fifth-year option. It's 13.2 against the cap next year. Has Tytus Howard been a $13.2 million player in the NFL to this point? Absolutely not. No, he has not been. So the Texans have rolled the dice on him. They're showing faith in Tytus Howard. And that's really where I'm at with him, too. Like, what he has produced on the field to this point, and again, a lot of blamers is firmly on the shoulders of the Houston Texans, has not, you know, been, okay, I'm going to give this guy $13 million a year. I believe he's going to play up to it. I think that this offensive line ultimately is going to be pretty good.
I do too.
Now, they have to stay healthy. You know, Laremy Tunsil needs to be invested, like we talked about 2 days ago. Kenyon Green needs to win the left guard position, which I expect him to do.
Well, and then once he wins it, he's got to hold his own.
Yeah. I feel like if he wins the job, though, there's no turning back. Like, no, I don't think you're going to demote him.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Winning the job is one thing.
Yeah.
Then once you get the job, being, and I didn't say to like make any kind of all-pro team. Mm-hmm. I just said hold your own because it's dual, right, in the way it affects the team. Because it's one thing for him to make sure as a first-round pick that he has value and that sustainability, he's going to be on your roster, and he's going to be able to do the job you drafted him to do.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's going to affect your running game immensely, no matter how good the rest of your offensive line is. You got to open up the holes so that they can hit him, and I think that he's a big key to that. We said that ever since he got drafted.
Yeah, I misunderstood you what you said there. Like, he just needs to be productive. He needs
right.
to be productive once he does win the job. And I anticipate him winning the job. I don't really see a scenario where Max Sharping is the left guard for the Houston Texans. I think it's more likely Sharping's not on this team than he is the starting left guard. Now, Kenny Britt and A.J. Kahn, you know, center right guard, I think those are just two serviceable veterans.
But the thing is, you can elevate their play if the other three guys are who we expect them to be.
You don't need either one of those guys to be all pros.
No.
You don't even need them to be, like, good football players, right? Because you're right. You know, if you anchor it with your tackles, Laremy on the left side, Tytus Howard, don't move him. From the right side, like, that is your anchor. It gives you a solid foundation. If Kenyon Green can play average to above average as an NFL left guard in year one, and doing it as a rookie is a huge boost, you just want A.J. Britt, or you just want Britt and Kahn not to get beat. You just want them to be average at that point. And I think if they play average and Kenyon Green's pretty good as a rookie, and then Tunsil plays all 17, Tytus does a pretty good job anchoring into one position, I think you got the makings of a...
Absolutely.
I would say pretty good. I don't know if I'm going to say, like, top 10.
No, I'm going to say above average, right? I'm going to say above 50% of the league, but I'm not going to say top 10. Yeah. But here's the other thing that I was getting at. Those three guys can elevate Britt and anybody else that plays in the offensive line simply because of the fact that if they're doing their job and playing the way we expect them to play, they can also help off a little bit at times to actually elevate and help the other two guys to make them better. Because we know as much as these guys are graded on how they play individually, continuity on the offensive line is also a big thing. And so if they stay on the field and they stay in their positions and everybody kind of gets to know everybody else, I think that it can elevate whoever you don't think is at average or above on the offensive line and make the entire unit better.
Look, we know Tytus Howard's going to be back in 2023. It would cost just as much for the Texans to cut him as to keep him now that they've committed to the fifth-year option. So he's going to be a Houston Texan through 2023. The question becomes for Laremy Tunsil, too, the one we've talked about. Does he satisfy his potential? Does Tytus Howard play up to that first-round grade when you drafted a number 23 in 2019? Does he justify the price tag of a $13 million fifth-year player option? We just talked about that. Still incomplete. I think he has the potential to get there. Ultimately, I think he will get there. He's yet to play to that value yet. The second part, when you start to look ahead a little bit more, Tytus Howard, because I think the look ahead for the Houston Texans is what's hopeful. It's what's exciting. It's what's fun. Like, I have more, you know, entertainment value, at least in my opinion. And I might be in the minority here, and I think we're on the same page. I like looking ahead for the Texans 2023 and beyond more than the 2022 season. Tytus Howard's on the books for $13 million in 2023. He's going to be a Houston Texan in 2023 because it cost him just as much to cut him as it means to keep him.
I think the only thing that hurts that is if he suffers a major, major injury. Otherwise, you're right. He's going
to
be there for two
years. But even then, you're going to have to pay him. Like, you're going to have to pay him the money that he's on the books. So he's going to be a member of this team. If he's on the IR, he's on the IR. Does he get another contract with the Houston Texans? Like, that to me is the question hanging over Tytus Howard. The second one. First, can he play up to that $13.2 million? Second, is he a Houston Texan beyond 2023?
See, I think a lot depends, too, at what price.
We don't know yet.
Right? Because of the fact that it depends on how he plays. It also depends on the fact that, you know, does he want to do it, buy in? When he can choose anywhere you get. As a player, it's different if you know you're coming in, like, say you're one of the rookies coming in this year, and you're coming in and you know it's in rebuild mode, but you know that you're going to be here for the foreseeable future. So you just go out and you do your job and you accept it. But if you're a veteran that's coming up on free agent, and I think Reed is the last example of that, but there's been plenty of others. As you get more veteran in your career, you have less tolerance for losing. And if you know that you're a veteran on a team that's just starting a rebuild and you have free agency coming up,
mm-hmm.
I think as much as you might have been very comfortable in the city and the organization that you were in, you look at it entirely differently going, if a contending team wants me and the money's about the same, bye.
The thing that I like about Titus is that he has 2 years to earn that contract.
Yep.
He has the 2022 season, hopefully at the right tackle position. He has the 2023 season, hopefully at the right tackle position, to give the Texans an answer to the question, does he belong on the right side of the offensive line? Does he belong as a member of the offensive line for the Texans beyond 2023? What do you think? Can Titus Howard finally be an anchor at one position? And then ultimately, is he a Texan beyond that fifth-year rookie option? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Storyline number 6 tomorrow at 1. But when we return, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's been given permission to seek out a trade. Would you want Jimmy G as a quarterback on a division rival? Will Jimmy G ever start again in the NFL? And I have a case, a point or two, on why it makes sense for him to be a Houston Texan. Oh, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Jimmy Garoppolo has been he's been given permission to seek a trade by the San Francisco 49ers, which probably gave him the opportunity to seek a trade since like March.
Well, good luck to you. He doesn't clear health wise till mid August.
Yeah, he was yet. What? No, he was clear for practice. I think yesterday, or 2 days ago.
Well, they had said the day before that it was going to be a couple more weeks before he was cleared for practice.
Maybe like full contact stuff.
Maybe.
But anyways, would you want Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback on a division rival? If he was the starter in Jacksonville, Indy, Tennessee, how would you feel about that?
Feel fine. Absolutely fine. And this goes to conversations that you and I have had in depth on different teams and even sometimes in different leagues as it pertains to where are you on the barometer of being competitive and also where is he going? And so why should that matter? If you are in a rebuild and you know that the teams that are in your division that are better than you currently that are trying to win and are playoff ready, it shouldn't matter to you if he goes there or not, or he could potentially make one of the teams in your division better or not, because you're not relevant enough for it to be a difference maker.
See, that's kind of where I'm at as well. But like if we're operating with like, okay, this guy's going to be there for the next few years. Texans are competitive. The Texans are going to be competing in the next couple of years. They're going to be fighting, scrapping, and clawing for a playoff spot. I would have no problem with Jimmy Garoppolo being the quarterback of any of those three teams. I look at Jimmy Garoppolo as just a guy. Like, everybody's like, oh, well, Jimmy Garoppolo needs to go to a spot where they have a really good defense, where they have a really good running game, where they have a really good supporting cast. Well, if that's the case, you're telling me Jimmy Garoppolo is not that good. If he needs all of those things to have success in the NFL, then he's just a guy. And that's why Jimmy Garoppolo has been on the trade market all season long. And I understand that he has a huge cap number, but so did Baker Mayfield. Carolina was able to figure something out with Baker Mayfield. They were able to work on a trade. They were also able to bring in the fact that they could, you know, reduce his salary as well. Baker Mayfield got traded. It took a while, but Baker Mayfield got traded. Jimmy Garoppolo's a guy to me. I am not terrified if Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback that I'm facing any given Sunday.
And here's the other thing, Jeremy, and you hate to look at it like this, but in a lot of cases, if you're considering the hypothetical that you're presenting, in a lot of ways, that means that Matt Ryan got hurt or Ryan Tannehill got hurt. And if you say that, especially in those two cases with teams that have playoff expectations, that you're going to go up against the Titans, but instead of Ryan Tannehill, you're going to face Jimmy G.
A wash.
Great.
Maybe a downgrade.
Maybe.
A wash at best, right?
Yeah. And definitely in Indy, no matter what version of Matt Ryan you get, you would assume that you're getting a better chance to win or be competitive because now it's going to be Jimmy G. Yeah. I'm fine with both scenarios.
Ryan's been an MVP candidate. Yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo has been, he's won one. And Jimmy Garoppolo has been fortunate to be on good football teams over the course of his career. 713-780-ESPN, 3364 texting in saying Garoppolo's a puppet. He needs Shanahan to be great. Kind of like the Killer Bees. We need Brendan to be great.
That's right. Good call.
Because we're Brendan's puppets. But
he's Jim Henson.
I think that's a good way to look at it. So it would not
Which Muppet are you? We'll talk about it later.
I couldn't name a Muppet.
What?
Couldn't name it. I know Jimmy Henson, but I could not name a Muppet.
Jimmy, you're that close with him?
Yeah, Jimmy.
Jimmy Henson? You can't name the frog with the T?
Kermit?
He's a Muppet.
Oh, I guess I can name more than... So you have Kermit.
You got a grumpy
Miss
guy.
Miss Piggy?
You got a grumpy... Yes.
Miss Piggy, that's yeah. two.
How about
I'm stuck there.
How about... No, I'll get you through it. How about the grumpy garbage can banger? Lives in a garbage
Oscar
can.
Oscar the Grouch?
Boom, there's three.
That's a Muppet?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
How about the big yellow bird?
He's a Muppet?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Muppet expert.
Jim Henson not only had the Muppet Show.
You know, your resume now, Jeremy.
Yeah.
You know the puppet version of the Killer Bees?
Who's that?
The two guys in the balcony on the Muppet Show?
Who?
Oh, well, the
Bert and Ernie?
No, well, there's two more Muppets. Keep going. You said you didn't know any, and look at you rolling.
I think I'm out there. Mr. Rogers? I think I'm out. Who are they? Who are you referring to?
I forget their names now, but at
oh,
the,
okay.
No, I used to know, but no, I'm not trying to make you an idiot. I thought you would know them, not even by name. You're just familiar with the fact that at the Muppet Show, they were the two guys in the balcony that used to be real critical of everything going on.
I do know what you're talking about.
Okay,
I do know what you're talking.
What
about
the crazy drummer? I have a T-shirt of him, but what about the crazy drummer that's in the commercials? You don't watch
Led Zeppelin?
No, Animal.
I don't know. Oh, his name's Animal.
The puppet Animal.
You never seen? Oh yeah, is he big? He's like blue.
No, he's like orange, and he's got big googly eyes. And, okay.
Yeah.
How about the Snuffleupagus? You know the Snuffleupagus?
When I was 6 years old, I watched SportsCenter, not Sesame Street.
I mean, I think I had a better memory retention because when I was 3 or 4 and I was watching Sesame Street and The Muppet Show, I figured out who the characters were.
I knew the characters.
Did you?
You just walked me through it?
I tried to. I told you. But the whole time I'm trying to hold your hand and walk you through,
I knew
you're
as
coming
many as
at
you
me
did.
Like I'm coming at you and I'm trying to help you.
I wasn't coming at you. Jimmy Garoppolo, do you think he'll start again in the NFL?
I do.
What? Okay. If I do too. I believe he'll be a starter at some point. I don't think it's going to be this year, but I think he will be a starter at some point.
Look, there's too many scenarios, right? He might not be ever get the day one starting job with another team, though I think that's a possibility.
I think it will happen.
Yeah, but I think that even if it doesn't happen like that, we see too many injuries throughout seasons, especially for teams that are competitive, that know that if you need a game manager, a guy that's not going to lose you games as a fill-in starter, when a starter goes down, he will start in the NFL again.
Yeah, so we're under the impression that he will be a starter again in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Which second-chance starter will his next chance most compare to? Because Mitch Trubisky, about to get a second-chance start. Carson Wentz on his third chance. Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston, Jared Goff. Of those quarterbacks, who is Jimmy Garoppolo the most like?
I'm going to go off the board, Alex. I'm going to say he's more like Nick Foles. He's a guy that's going to get a job.
I feel like that's disrespectful to Jimmy G.
I don't. I think he's a guy that maybe in the short term on his next deal is going to have to understand that he's going to have to compete for a job, or he's going to be the second stringer, but it's going to be on a good team.
But he was, I mean, Foles was a career backup. Like Jimmy Garoppolo, once he got traded.
But I'm saying,
Bay,
whenever you went to him, he did his job. I think Jimmy G's that guy. I think that it depends on what price, because he's made enough money. But if there's a team that's going to say, look, you get a chance to prove that you can still play in this league, we're going to give you the starting job under the pretense that coming in, you realize this is just a one-year or a two-year deal while we draft a quarterback and get him ready to play.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be plug and play on a team that's relevant in the NFL.
Well, I don't either. I think he's more like Jared Goff than anybody else. Trubisky, like, okay, he was drafted really high. He actually had some decent success, flamed out, went to Buffalo, spent a year under Allen trying to get his second chance started. Carson Wentz was like a former MVP candidate that fell off the face of the earth once Doug Peterson left and once he got hurt that season. People used to talk about Wentz and Deshaun Watson as the new Manning Brady. That didn't work out so well. Baker Mayfield, again, was a high draft pick. I look at him as a little bit more volatile than Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo's kind of steady, doesn't have the volatility of a Baker. Same thing with Jameis Winston. Whereas Jared Goff, the reason that I most relate him to Goff is they were both pretty good when they had a really good offense around them and an offensive wizard in their ear.
Yeah, yeah.
Jared Goff with Sean McVay. Jimmy Garoppolo had his best success when they had a really good team around him and you had an offensive wizard with Kyle Shanahan.
And here's where I would just say I think he's going to be a lot like Wentz in the fact that he's going to be a desperation move for teams in the league that are trying to get back to relevance. And so they're going to go get a guy that, again, game manager, as much as it's a taboo term these days, But if you go get a guy like him because the rest of your roster is playoff ready, there's a guy that's going to get a couple opportunities with decent clubs to you know, he gets to try and find it one more time, and the team gets to try and hopefully catch lightning in a bottle on a short-term basis to try and get to where they need to go.
Can I sell you on Jimmy Garoppolo to the Houston Texans?
Please, no, you cannot, but you can try.
See, everybody thinks that Jimmy Garoppolo being a Houston Texans is
wait, this year?
Yeah, this year, 2022.
No way.
No that everybody say, oh, Jimmy G, absolutely not. Florio's like, I predict him to land with the Texans.
Wait, no, Jimmy everybody G, absolutely him. Not. No, okay, go ahead.
Here's why I would be interested in it if I'm Nick Caserio and if I'm the Houston Texans. First and foremost, it's not going to be on the contract that Jimmy Garoppolo has. Texans can't afford that. But they're working on it. You know, they work on the details of a contract. They can fit it under the salary cap. I don't even need to for him to sign a multi-year deal. 1 year is fine with me. So we know that Nick Caserio trades late-round draft picks like they're going out of style. In fact, he traded a six-rounder for Ryan Finley, let's remember, and he never made it to training camp. You trade a six-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. You work out the contract details. You get him under the caps, making like $7 million a year so you can fit under the cap. There is no way I am telling you, though, so put down your phone, 713-780-ESPN, by the way. I'm not saying to start him. He's your backup quarterback. There's zero pressure on
Davis Mills.
Yes, your big brother and Davis Mills. I tell Davis Mills, look, we're bringing in Jimmy G, but he is zero threat to your job. He will never start a game ahead of you unless you're hurt. So he is your mentor to Davis Mills, and then on top of that, you got him for a six-rounder, so what? If there's a team in contention that loses their quarterback in week six of the season, let's just say it's the Saints, and the Saints through six games are 5-1. Jameis Winston tears his ACL. You can get Jimmy Garoppolo for a third-round draft pick. You just won three rounds because you were able to work out a deal with Jimmy Garoppolo to be the backup for Davis Mills. Why would you not do that?
I think it would be not why would you not. The bigger thing would be that I don't think he would be up for that.
Who?
Jimmy G.
What other options does he have?
Well, you don't know, but he's going to get paid. I don't think
he's going to get paid.
I don't think they're going to cut him.
I do. $25 million?
We'll see. I think that we've talked about this in the past. If there's in most cases, I would agree with you. You could cut him. You could walk away from it. It'd be fine. He has to understand that. But with the Niners, it's a different story simply because the rest of the roster is Super Bowl ready, and there's so many question marks surrounding Trey Lance. I don't even care if he's the quarterback of the future or not. As it pertains to this season, that locker room, those players, and where they were a year ago and where they think they can get to again, they need to at least have the insurance policy that knows the playbook like the back of his hand, that could do what he did a year ago if needed to do again, and not put them in a complete inescapable hole.
I love that from a 49er perspective, but why would Jimmy Garoppolo want that?
Because he's familiar with the system. If he does get that opportunity and he does anywhere remotely close to what they want him to do, he's basically writing the check for his next contract and proving he can still play in the league and play at a level of at least serviceable that teams are going to be interested in. And I think it's the best case scenario for his success and for his finances and for the team itself to survive it.
Now, if they kept him on the $25 million deal, he'd be happy about that because he's making $25 million a year. I just don't see any way in the world that Jimmy Garoppolo is the backup quarterback in San Francisco next year for the $25 million he's owed.
I get
That's
it.
A lot.
I'm gonna stick with it till it's not the case anymore. I think he's going to be the starter week one for the Niners.
I like it from a 49er perspective, but the finances of it, the $25 million, like if you could talk him into, hey, let's give you 10. Like you could go, like we could cut you today. There's no way you're making 10. How about you be the backup or maybe even the starter? You can compete, but we're going to trim it down to $10 million. I think it's a hard sell for Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think that
you're not James
Harden
walking away from that kind of money. Yeah. But at the same time, you realize it may be the best chance you have of surviving and saving your career as a starting quarterback in the league.
We know Nick Caserio likes the market. So if he can buy low on Jimmy Garoppolo, six-round draft pick, you get him down to $7 million, the opportunity to sell high if somebody else gets hurt, a quarterback on a contending team, would you bring Jimmy G to Houston under those conditions? Backup quarterback, no threat to Davis Mills, with the idea of being his mentor. In case you want to win, he's a better backup quarterback than Kyle Allen. And then the third part of it, maybe he's an intriguing piece at the NFL trade deadline. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Killer Beast on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Kicking around the idea of Jimmy Garoppolo, where would he play, first and foremost? Like, where is he going to go? Would you want him as a division rival? Because he puts zero fear into me. Will Jimmy Garoppolo start again? And we have a rogue woman listener. I think she's a woman. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. He can come just to be eye candy because we have none of that anymore. Signed a woman who loves football. I think it is a woman. Safe to say that now. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was a thing with Jimmy Garoppolo. Is Jimmy Garoppolo a handsome man?
Haven't you seen this? Oh, gosh.
You didn't realize that was a thing with Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, please, I didn't realize
carry
that.
Carry on, Brendan. You go first.
I mean, he's having to slum it around with porn stars. Why would I think he's a handsome man?
I think that's more his fetish than slumming around.
He and Deshaun share that brotherhood?
Just different strokes for different folks, so to speak.
If you were to pull, like, the most attractive man in sports, I think Garoppolo would finish high.
You think so?
I do.
Like top 5%?
Oh, definitely top
5%. Higher than Brady.
I thought he might
carrying the looks
five.
In New England. Huh?
I thought he might finish top 5, not top 5%. He'll definitely
top
finish
five?
Top 5%.
Who are the most handsome men in sports?
I mean, I don't know. I don't have a list ready.
780 okay. ESPN. So, didn't think we were going here today. 713-780-3776.
You just talked about Muppets.
You just took us here.
It's true. Astros are playing.
The thing is there's a Subway commercial with
Charles Barkley.
He's part
Steph
of
Curry.
It. But Jimmy G.
Tom Brady.
And Jimmy G talks about his Nana and the way she used to make the Italian sub.
Yeah.
And then she says at the end of the commercial, it's a good thing he's so good looking. And Simone Biles and the chick working at Subway both nod their head and go, oh, yeah. So I think it's a thing.
I can't believe you can quote and you can literally say every single thing that happens in a commercial.
Not every single thing.
It is the
thing,
most impressive thing that you
thing.
Do.
Thank you.
713-780 ESPN.
Tutoring you on Muppet history?
People are texting in saying that Jimmy is the most handsome man in the NFL, higher than Brady.
Well, there's your answer. Huh. Or at least close.
Is he higher than Brad Ausmus?
Hey, it's this week in radio, Brendan. Mount Rushmore of the greatest looking guys in the NFL. No, let's pass on that. But
Brad Ausmus, Jake Mariznick, Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's not in the NFL.
Who's winning that?
Brad Ausmus, Jimmy. Why am I? Brad, who?
I mean, Ausmus, Mariznick,
Jimmy G.
Why don't
you ask your new female listener? I mean.
713-780 ESPN.
See, yeah, Jake Mariznick was, when we used to have Jeff Blum on, Blummer would talk about the fact that
Mariznick had great hair,
but that the female demographic that were Astros fans could not get enough of Jake Mariznick on their TV and whenever they could see him.
Yeah. A lot of people loved Ausmus. A lot of the old school Ausmus.
Yeah, you're right. He was another one.
Yeah, a lot
they didn't
of them
care
loved
that
Ausmus.
Neither one of them could hit their body weight, but they were fun to look at for the females.
They're all terrible at their sport.
Is Jimmy G terrible?
He's bottom half of the NFL starters. I would say that Jimmy Garoppolo is probably in the outside of the top 20.
He made the conference championship game a year ago.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan. So did Jared Goff.
I mean, look, I also know that Kyle Shanahan called him an MF-er multiple times throughout the second half of the season.
But in a good way or a bad way? Because that can mean both.
In a bad way. It was people in stories talking about how frustrated and how angry Kyle Shanahan had gotten with Jimmy G. But guess what? He got you where you wanted to go as a head coach. When Trey Lance wasn't ready.
People are sending us the most handsome people in sports now. 713-780
ESPN. This
is
all you.
I can't believe people aren't mentioning Blankers and Branham, by the way, or Brendan. Where are you? Cristiano Ronaldo is on that list. Not if you're looking at that one statue that was made of Ronaldo, though, that looked nothing like Ronaldo.
His grill doesn't, yeah.
Yeah, he's got an awkward smile. Anyway, 6130, what do y'all think Jimmy G going to the Saints? Would you rather him or Jameis with the Saints? They've already committed to Jameis. So, like, if you're bringing in Jimmy G, it's not to be the quarterback over Jameis.
Right.
I don't see a job that is out there, to be quite honest with you, where Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starter. Like, everybody points to Seattle. Like, Seattle's in the same position, in my opinion, that the Houston Texans are in. Like, why would Seattle want to be handing over the franchise to Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, they don't have Davis Mills. They have Drew Locke, who are both young quarterbacks with a chance. But Seattle, I don't expect, thinks that they're a contender.
Seattle is next in line to the Texans in trying to get a ticket to the Embrace the Suck party.
That's what I think.
Yeah, they need and they know. And they've got the ex-Packer front office guy that's their GM, is it John Schneider? They have enough knowledge in how football works to realize whether the fans want to admit it or not. They're in full rebuild mode. They traded Russ. They got a bunch of young talent, the end picks. They've unloaded almost every member of the Legion of Boom. they're considering getting rid of their, you know, the receivers and guys that are left, including a DK Metcalf, which would have massive ramifications in the league. But why would you do that, especially as a young receiver that hasn't even gotten to his first real contract, unless you're rebuilding and you want everybody to be about the same age? So they're telling you without telling you they're already in full rebuild mode.
Yeah.
So they should be losing every game.
Yeah. To me, like, Seattle's bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo, it's like either they have unrealistic expectations or it's the scenario I painted out where he's carrying the water for a young quarterback to be the mentor. And then the idea of like, okay, we'll go to you in an emergency, or if we want to trade you down the line. 1185, Davis Mills can't carry Jimmy G's jock. I would not want Jimmy G starting for the Texans because I want the Texans to lose as many games as possible so they may be able to pull out Will Anderson, Bryce Young in the NFL draft. Look, this show embraces the suck, which is, like, I understand that. But we don't want Jimmy Garoppolo to start for this team under this scenario. He's the mentor for Davis Mills. He is a backup option for Davis Mills in case you do want to win and he gets hurt. But in no way is he replacing Davis Mills. This show is pro, embrace the suck, be bad, get a high draft pick. This is more of a way to try to upgrade a draft position. You trade a sixth for Jimmy Garoppolo, you hope there's some demand for him later, and you flip him for a fourth.
It's a best-case scenario, but so many different variables have to fall into place, too, which makes it complicated. Because God forbid you go and make the move, and then you don't have the market you were hoping for. But
you're out of sixth.
Yeah, it's not much. It's something that, you know, Nick Casario a year ago would trade for a bowl of soup.
Yeah.
So you're not too concerned about that either. It's just it becomes a hassle if he becomes a distraction, right?
Yeah. Well,
because
way is he becoming a distraction?
So you had a conversation with Jimmy G in making the deal that said, look, we're going to do everything in our power to give you an opportunity to find a new home between now and the trade deadline. You have our word for it. We're going to try and find you a place where you not only can play, but that you're going to go to a winning team.
Yeah.
Good. Sweet. That's awesome. But then all of a sudden you get close to the trade deadline. Nothing's percolating. Nothing's popping up on your radar. No one's calling you about him. And you're like, well, now what? Well, now he's going to Mark Berman and he's in the locker room every day. And
cut
he's
him.
Pulling his best Jake Odorizzi.
Cut him.
You can.
What do you have to lose, right? You expect to be a bad team. You have zero ties to him following the season. You cut him. You get rid of him. Like, this is, like, I don't think it's realistic, to your point. I'm not predicting this to happen. But everybody in the city is like, they hear Jimmy G to Houston, like, no way in the world. I just presented you a scenario that makes tons of sense for the Houston Texans to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo.
And people are asking me and sending me messages about, well, if you think he still can play, well, then why are the Niners putting it out there right now that he and letting him go? Because they want to restart the market. They want to see if there's a market at all. And if they're missing something because GMs aren't calling them, they're going to, under the wild, crazy possibility that Jimmy G and his agent can find a team that would be interested, I think that would excite them. But I think they're already resigned to the fact that one of two options. They're either going to find out in camp that they need him or they're going to cut him.
I don't think they want the price tag either.
You're
like,
right.
Like the way that you brought it up about like why there's value to keep Jimmy G in San Francisco, like I agree with that. But they don't want to pay $25 million. Literally nobody in the NFL wants to play $25 million. That's why you can get Jimmy Garoppolo pretty cheap. I'm sure he wants to be a free agent. He'd rather be cut. But that's why they gave the agents the permission for him to seek out a different team. 8601, I wouldn't bring in Jimmy G even under those conditions because you don't want to put any added pressure on Mills. Mills needs to focus on progressing so he can be the quarterback of the future without any distractions or looking over his shoulder. If you bring in Jimmy G and Mills stumbles out of the gate, the fans will be screaming to give Jimmy G a shot because they would ignore the future for instant gratification. Here's where I push back on that. If you are worried about a quarterback in the NFL collapsing under the pressure of a below top 20 quarterback in the NFL, that guy has zero chance to be an NFL quarterback. If Davis Mills is going to crumble over the pressure of a quarterback that nobody wants because of his current price tag, then Davis Mills does not have a future in the NFL as a starting quarterback.
And you're right. Look, I think that if you're looking for Big Brother, though, the guy that would have been ideal for it, you just let walk out the door after a miserable season a year ago. Because the only guy that has seemingly been a willing Big Brother that I can think of in the last couple of years has been the guy that you had starting quarterback for you a year ago, right? I mean, I think that
you're talking about Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor, if you go back, and we were lucky enough, I guess, at the time because of how it relates to this story, is it through Hard Knocks. You were able to find out that here was a guy that was okay being Big Brother for Baker Mayfield when Baker was drafted. And he was like, whether I start or not, I'm here to show you the ropes. Baker just speaks glowingly of how great he was, showing him every little thing that he needed to know as a quarterback in the NFL. You already had your big brother if that's what you were looking for, yep. Unless you can profit from it by, like you said, upgrading a couple of rounds and a draft pick.
9768, I don't know what you started here, Blankers. 9768 saying all the handsome man in sports, Jimmy Garoppolo, TJ Watt, Mike Vrabel. Somebody else texted in saying that George Springer. My wife loves Springer. I hated when he left, but at least he's far away from my wife now. That's concerning. I'd worry about that. Day One Donna saying Jeremy Pena. Twitch Rez is saying AJ Puck for the Oakland A's. Craven Tiger saying Joe Burrow. Look what you started here.
Me.
In Fuentes saying Beckham makes Renato look like Quasimodo.
Who was the best looking of three guys? When I said, why are you asking me? I'm not doing that. Then you threw it out to the people. But I won.
You were talking about how dreamy Jimmy Garoppolo was.
No, I wasn't. I was pointing out a Subway commercial and why you don't know that people think that he is a handsome man.
Guys, I'm pretty sure I started this.
Okay.
713.
Have you ever heard Barkley talk about Brady?
How pretty he is?
On multiple occasions, Charles, Brendan, I bet you can find the sound on it because he's done it on multiple different interviews and things, and he's done it on The Match where he said, I can't even tell you that when I met Tom Brady in person last night in the restaurant, I had to just absolutely stop and I lost my entire train of thought because he's that beautiful of a man. He goes on and on, raves about Brady's looks.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Stop telling us the sexiest men in sports. All right, do you feel a step below the Yankees from a Houston Astros perspective? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you all about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I love them because they take care of Houstonians like myself, and they do it better than anybody else because they care about their patients. You can be the next in line to find out how they can take care of you from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom and everywhere in between. If you've lost that love and feeling, or you don't have the energy you had when you were in your heyday and you feel like it's gone forever, it's not. And they're here to explain it to you and how they can help. You want to get on a workout program? They can take care of that, starting with a full body composition analysis that literally only takes a minute, but allows you to chart the results as you make progress. You want to recover quicker after being at the gym? HGH peptide therapy is an option. If you need more energy in your life, you can get a B12 shot weekly, which can help with that. Or if you want to go to full-blown hormone therapy or you're a guy with low T, they can help you as well. They take care of Houstonians across the board. Two locations to better serve you in your downtown Houston. But do yourself a favor. Go to ApolloMH.com and check out all the different services they offer and all the different ways they can help. Once you figure all that out, if you feel like you need to meet with them, talk to them, and see if they can help you too, then set up an appointment. You can do it right there online, and when you do, you'll find out most major insurance is accepted, and there's discounts for military personnel and first responders. But then go in there and be honest. When you're honest with them, they'll get results for you by setting you up on a program that gets you where you need to go. Say you want to lose weight. Say you want to gain muscle. Say you want to be better in the boardroom or the weight room or the bedroom. They're going to make you a plan that works. They're going to get you those results, and you're going to feel great, and you're going to be glad I told you. So much so, you'll mention my name on that first visit. You can get a free body composition analysis or a free B12 shot on that first official visit. Check them out today. They're good people doing great things. They're the people at Apollo Men's Health.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Lamont texted in saying, I know the Steelers have Pickett and Trubisky, but Jimmy would be perfect there. They have a strong program, which Jimmy needs. I think that's a good fit. I actually want to talk more about Lamont getting thrown in Twitter jail.
He got
thrown in Twitter jail.
He's done it in the past, and I missed why.
I think it's been happened a lot.
But there was a conversation, I think, with Lance and John, and I was interested in it because they were reminiscing about, you know, like guys that have been doing it for a long time. I think they made the reference comparing Lance and John to like Rich and Charlie back in the day. And then I wanted to see what Lamont said, and all of a sudden it was like, this person's no longer, you cannot no longer read their. I'm like, what the hell happened there?
Thoughts and prayers to Lamont's Twitter account.
He's got a new account now.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, I think he created a new one.
Oh, okay, good. Well, I'm glad that he is resurfaced. I knew it was coming. Anyways, yeah, I think the Steelers would be fine as a fit. The Astros are playing the Yankees today. Two games, by the way. They start at 3:05, wink, wink. But there is an article on ESPN saying that there's different tiers amongst Major League Baseball. Tier 1, the Yankees, and that is it. Then they had the Houston Astros at tier two. They had the Dodgers mentioned there. They had the New York Mets, the Atlanta Braves, San Diego Padres, all as tier two teams. So Yankees and then literally everybody else. And then Jeff Passan wrote the write-up on the Houston Astros, and he said why they could take down the Yankees because they can pitch with them, hit with them, fill with them, and they did it in 2019, and they did it in 2017. Asterisk.
You caught that too.
Yeah, Jeff Passan had to throw it. Passan asterisk, by the way. I'm going to start calling Jeff Passan that because he pretends to be a reporter, but he has more hot takes than he's willing to admit, and he'll passive-aggressively say these things and then block people when you go back at Jeff Passan, which is the worst people in the world.
Oh, because then you know what he's going to do, too?
Asterisk.
He's going on the down low. He's going to tippy-toe around the person that said it about him and go to upper management and tell on him.
Like, I'm fine if you want to take shots. Like, totally am. Like, I have no problem with that at all. If you want to take shots at the Astros and put an asterisk next to 2017, that is fine. But own it, take the responsibility of doing it, and then take the repercussions of doing it as well. If you're going to throw shots, you got to be willing to accept the shots. And that's something that Jeff Passan does not do, and he's a little crybaby.
I really wish, Jeremy, that all of the national guys would do what Robert Flores did and just come on the air and flat out say, I'm done with it. I don't feel that way. That's bunk if you think that there is a national perspective like that. And then the next time that you do what Passan did with that little asterisk, or you're Heyman or some of these other guys that say, oh, it's not a big, I'm doing that. And then all of a sudden you take your little shot, then you're on record and you can be called out on it, because there's too many guys that like to say they're over it that clearly are not. And Passan's at the front of that line.
Yeah, I like, that's fine if you're going to take shots, but be willing to take the shots back as well. But anyways, do you feel the Astros are a step below the Yankees? Tier one here, Yankees, that's it. That's the entire list for tier one. Then you have five teams in tier two. Houston Astros are in that tier two list. So do you feel like the Astros are a tier below the New York Yankees?
I don't. I think regardless of how the Gotham Gauntlet went, the fact that it went the way it did made me feel even stronger about the fact that the American League, and I felt this way at the start of the season, was a two-team race. And I have less question marks now than I did at the start of the season when I didn't know what Jeremy Peña was going to be. And I also didn't expect that Yuli was going to start as slow as he did. And so, or Alex Bregman. And so I expected center field was going to be an early question mark that would resolve itself, and it hasn't really completely done that yet either. But yet I still feel the same way I did at the start of the season, that it's between those two teams. So that's why it's just another reason why I believe and have been very adamant about this all season, that James Click needs to take all the time he needs between now or at the time when we started talking about this in the offseason once Correa left and the trade deadline, to make sure that whether you keep up with the Joneses or call it whatever you want, that you don't let a team that you know is going to go out and overspend and do whatever they can to better their already big-time lineup, and you don't want to get passed by. So that by the time the trade deadline's passed, if you suddenly have slid to the second tier because they upgraded and you didn't, that would piss me off.
Look, I get that the Yankees have a better record than the Astros. There's no disputing that. It is fact. Like, just look at the standings, right? But I don't feel that the Yankees are a tier ahead of the Astros, and there's many other reasons. There's many examples as to why. You can take the first five games against the New York Yankees here and throw that into your conversation. The Astros have won 3 of 5 against the New York Yankees, with 4 of those games being played in New York and 2 games that you absolutely gifted. You gave those two games that you lost away. The Astros are playing a doubleheader against the Yankees today. First pitch, 3:05. They're leading 2-1 right now in the fifth inning in game one of that as well. So the Astros and the Yankees are two heavyweight competitors.
They still have never trailed in an inning in the series against the Yankees all season.
That's an interesting factoid, right? Yep. The Astros and the Yankees, to me, go toe-to-toe. Like, they go eye-to-eye. To me, they are the top two teams in the American League, and it would be a heavyweight 7-game series, heavyweight fight, and an ALCS. It could go either way. I think it's a toss-up. I think it's 50-50. But if it's a toss-up and it's 50-50, then there's not a tier separating those two teams. And you can also, like, I understand why you wouldn't go past history when you're comparing 2022 teams. But the history should come into play as well. Frank Thomas said the other day, the October's Astros season, right? The Astros have been to 5 straight ALCSs. As Jeff Passan so accurately says here, the Astros knocked them out in 19. They knocked them out in 17 asterisk. They also beat them in 15 in the wild card game as well. So the Astros have proven to beat the big, bad New York Yankees. They've done it several times during this golden era for the Houston Astros. But if you're looking just 2022, the Astros had the head-to-head. And I don't think that the Yankees are like heads and shoulders higher than the Houston Astros.
Here's the thing,
or above
Jeremy,
the Astros.
Let's do what we do, and I always say this because I saw it all the time in my previous life and my previous job. Just take the whiteboard, put one team on either side of the ledger, and go right up and down the list. Pitching could be a wash across the board, right? Because they got Cole and you got Verlander. Their starters are young and have been pretty good. So have yours. Yours have maybe, I think, have been better. Then you look at the bullpen and say, both bullpens are in the top discussion of the top several bullpens in the game. Okay? They hit more home runs and they have more big bats. You hit for better average and across the board have better hitters. You look at it and you start going, okay, intangibles. Defense, well, I think they're big and slow in the outfield, but I think that, you know, their infield is really good because Connor Falefa is an underrated shortstop. They can cover some ground. Mm-hmm. So can you. So I think that when you start looking at that, then you go manager, Boone or Dusty. Well, that's for how we go on game-to-game
basis. And Dusty, we trusty.
Right. But you can sit there and go, and as long as we're going push there, push there, push here, push there, advantage you, but advantage here for them, if it's that close, you can't separate them by a tier.
No, I think that they're both tier one across Major League Baseball. And, like, we mentioned the standings as well. Like, that's one reason why the Yankees are, you know, tier one. The Astros are tier two. There's not a huge gap in the standings in it either. It's a 4.5-game difference between the Yankees and the Astros. We might go to sleep tonight resting our head on our very comfortable pillow, and we're looking at a 2.5 difference between the Yankees and the Astros. How can a 2.5-game difference between the Yankees and the Astros mean two totally different tiers? I think this is a little bit. This is kind of what we talk about in Houston, though, whereas you get the pushback from a Robert Flores that's like, oh, yeah, the bias doesn't exist. I don't see how you could watch the Astros for the first half of the season, the Yankees for the first half of the season, and think that they're playing on separate tiers than one another. 713-780-ESPN.
I totally agree, and that's why I said, you know, Robert Flores, you know, he's a coug, and I enjoy his work, and I love having him on, but he doesn't like it then when he's basically set himself up and opened him up for the fact that our listeners are going to be the ones that tag him on tweets that say so-and-so said this or what about that. Because I think you can't make that blanket statement across the board and believe that that's reality. I think there's too many guys. Passan has tried his best to verbalize how much he's over it, but he's not. He just showed again. And it annoys me that he gets annoyed when people call him out for it. Just own it. I mean, that's the biggest thing. If you're a baseball purist with a vote for the Hall of Fame and for other things, and you're going to hold it against the Astros like you hold the guys that did steroids back in the day, then just at least own it. Don't sit there and try and tell us it's black when it's white or the sky is purple. Just sit there and say, yeah, I put my name on it. I don't like that they did that. They degraded baseball. That, you know, they did this, they did that, and I don't want to hear about who else did it. Okay? Well, that whether I agree with you or not, at least you are owning your point of view.
Yeah.
You can't be wishy-washy on the fence like most of these guys
are.
Yeah,
you can't say that you've forgotten it and it's out of mind and throw a little passive-aggressive asterisk next to 2017. You know what I would appreciate actually more and respect a little bit more is if you're a Dodger fan, you're a Mariner fan, and you're a Yankee fan that literally boos everybody. Like, we just hate the Astros and we're going to be loud about it and we're going to be honest about it. I have more respect for that because at least you're loyal to the brand, right? Mm-hmm. Than little, oh, I forgot about the Astros. I forgot about 17. And then you passive-aggressively throw a little asterisk on there and throw a little shot, throw a little shade, but then you're going to block everybody that throws a little shade and a little bit of hate your way. It's weak. It's weak. It's soft. 4963, definitely not the Yankees. The Yankees should feel a step behind the Astros, especially if you look at the last 10 to 12 seasons. Like, I get the separation between 2022 and everything else.
This year.
I agree with that, but, like, whenever it's close, I think it's fair to throw in the resume as well because, like, we're talking about playoffs. We're talking about World Series. Sure. So, like, what a team has done recently in the postseason I think should be a factor when you're trying to project that.
Here's where it matters more, especially a team like the Yankees, though, Jeremy, because otherwise I would say what I just said, which is, especially from an Astros perspective, you're just focused on this year because obviously the past has gone your way anyway. There's so much pressure in that media market on a Brian Cashman who's gone out and tried to have to make excuses for himself and the reasons why with all the money in the world and the unlimited resources, they haven't been to a World Series since, I think, 09 or 10, and then, you know, blame it on the Astros and point fingers across the board. There's extra pressure now. So there is, and then because of the fact that the Astros have owned you, and you know that that's your number one competition, there's a ton more pressure, and it matters more to them, and that's where the past factors in because it's going to determine his job in a lot of ways. It's going to determine their fate and future, and they don't want another year where as much as their fan base likes to run off at the mouth At the end of the year, when they look back, they go, they got us again.
713-780-ESPN. Do you feel that the Astros are a tier below the Yankees? 713-780-3776. Also, who are the tier one organizations in all of sports right now? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.